Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you all this day. For those of you who are able to swim in today, mastered all those different strokes, right? The backstroke, the side stroke, all of those, you'll be well versed in the swimming arts after this. I'm going to use a phrase that Martha used, which I think was just brilliant. Instead of lemonade on the lawn today, we'll have lemonade on the linoleum. It's not quite as, it's not got quite the same feel to it, but you know, lemonade on the linoleum, it's alliterative at least, right? So please join us after worship for a little brief time of refreshments and fellowship downstairs, directly beneath you in the fellowship hall. And a few other announcements. We have Room in the Inn that's going to be hosted here this week, starting tonight. And Madeline, would you like to add some stuff to that? Any warm weather or rainy weather apparel that you would like to donate, please bring it by for Madeline. Well, maybe not for Madeline, but you know. You'll have to forgive me. We had a wedding yesterday, and I had a glorious moment. I prompt the bride and groom, you know, and Cassie Ross and Ryan Israel were married here yesterday. Some of you may know Brendan and Gary Ross. It's Cassie's their daughter. And as they were standing right here in this spot, I said, okay, repeat after me. I, Cassie, take you, Ryan. And I, Cassie, take you to be my wife. Oh, goodness. Anyway, a good time was had by all. So, wanted to draw your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. And please remember this week, if you have newsletter articles, please get those to Mandy as soon as you're possibly able. Our youth mission trip's coming up, not this week, but next, the 21st through the 25th. And Sally Ann, do you have anything to add to that? I think some of us have experience with that. Well, great. Are there any other announcements that may not have made it into the bulletin? Leroy and Bet, do y'all have an announcement? New grandparents, is that right? Great-grandparents, all right. And, yeah, big hand. And, Rick, I think it's your 70th wedding anniversary, is that right? 40th, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations, Rick, to you and Marsha on your 40th anniversary today, in fact. Yes. Oh. Oh. Wow. Well, it's nice to have you with us today all the way from Maine. There's a big connection with Maine as well here. So, I invite you to stand as you're able with our opening hymn number 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. 103. and I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 756, as we read responsively from the 25th Psalm, 756. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what's right and teaches them their way. Please be seated, and I invite our children to come down for our children's time.
Good morning. Sure, I have everything here. I'm going to sit here or in front of me. You know, I'm really happy. I'm always happy when I see some children in church. So when I come in and see children, I'm delighted. So I have something for you this morning. I'm going to ask a question. Well, a few questions, actually. Just let me get everything out. Would you like to open that and have one each and hold it up, please? Good. Hold them up and show everyone what it is. What is it? A heart. What does a heart remind you of? Can you tell me? Do you think Valentine's Day? Think so? Do you put hearts on cards for people on Valentine's Day because you love them? Very good. Well, I'm going to show you something else as well that reminds us of love. So you can take one of these as well. That's a beautiful rose that everyone seems to love on Valentine's Day, and they buy them on Valentine's Day. So this morning we're thinking of love. But I'm also going to show you something else which may not remind you of love, but it reminds me. What about this? Does that remind you of love? Look. Ooh, no. It is dirty. It's a dirty old glove, she says. Well, it's not too old, but it is used a lot. And it's used in my garden because I love to garden. And you know, sometimes we have to do dirty work because if we love somebody. So we can use this as love. Because, you know, We're going to learn about a story this morning of a man that was on his travels. And you know, while he was walking with all his goods on this travel, some thieves came and caught him. And they robbed him and took everything away from him, even his clothes, and left him there. I wonder what happens next. A gentleman who should love everyone came by and looked at him and thought, "Oh, no, I don't think so." Just like you thought about my glove. You thought, "Ooh, that doesn't look very good." So he walked past him. And then another man came by, and he looked at him and he passed away on the other side so he wouldn't be near him because he didn't look very good. But another man came by. And you know what he did? He went to him. And he was someone that was a stranger to this man. And he helped him cleaned him up, took him to a place to stay overnight. And that man was made better. So who do you think was the best man of those three? The guy who helped, that is right. So he helped someone that was really not looking very good. And we find it difficult sometimes to help people that don't look the same as us. But you know, that man was called a Good Samaritan. And today, you know, there's a few people in our church that are going to be Good Samaritans this week. Because this evening, some ladies that don't have a home are coming to stay at our church. And there's beds downstairs for them, and they're all comfortable. And there's a good meal for them when they come. So everyone that helps with that, and they help with a lot more things, are good Samaritans. So we need to remember that sometimes we might meet someone that we don't really like that needs help. But we need to remember this story and help the ones that need it, even if we don't like to do it. So try and remember that today. Let's just say a little prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, please help these children to not be afraid to get their hands dirty and to help people who are in need. We thank you for these children. Please bless them. In your name we ask. Amen. And now we're going to help more children by our bread tin offering. There's a school nearby that we help every year, and it's Jones School. And so it's a loose change offering, which most of us know about. So if you have any loose change or paper, we'll be good. Pardon?
Folding money is fine.
Folding money is fine, yeah. Okay, so.
The one thing I'd like to talk about today is give a report from Habitat for Humanity. There was a big meeting this week that I attended, and there are three points I'd like to make. But first, let me just say, the Asheville Area Habitat for Humanity is celebrating this year its 30th year in operation. It started slowly. Lou Krause, who's the executive director who's spoken in our church before, pointed out that the first house they built took 18 months to complete. They now start and complete a house every 21 days. Asheville Area Habitat has built 247 houses. The 250th house will be completed this fall. And that, by the way, will be, this sounds like sort of a made-up figure, but the 10,000th house built by Habitat in North Carolina. Of the 247 houses built so far, 95 have been built by faith communities like ours, and I was very proud to learn that the Methodists have done more than anybody else. We've built 22 houses, either by ourselves or in conjunction with the Presbyterians. Three things I'd like to share with you. First, September 7th is going to be a great celebration of the 30 years of Habitat for Humanity, with a kickoff breakfast and various festivities, and I think they're going to do the wall raising for their 30th anniversary house. And later that afternoon, they're going to do the key ceremony, that is giving the key to the house to the people who are occupying the 250th house, and there will be a big sale at the Restore. And I'll tell you more about that as the time comes. Second, there's another Methodist and Presbyterian house that will be built, and it starts on October the 3rd, so we're not yet at a point where we need volunteers, but when we do, I'll be sure and ask you folks to volunteer. And please remember that men and as well as women, people who have a lot of building training and people who don't have much of training at all, and even young people between 16 and 18, if they have parental permission, can work on these houses. And the third thing is that they're making a big deal out of the 30th anniversary house. It's going to be built in an area, this is in Swannanoa where they're building these days, it's going to be built on a circle, and they've decided to call that the Circle of Faith, because the Methodist Presbyterian house is on that circle, so is the Episcopal house, so is the Interfaith house, and this 30th anniversary house. So that's the Circle of Faith. And in honor of this, they've asked the faith communities to provide all the volunteers for the first month, for the month of September. Now, that shouldn't be too hard. I mean, there are 18 Methodist churches involved, and they need a total of, I've forgotten what it is, but 150 man days, man person days, whatever it is. But I have volunteered for two of us to go on September 17th, and I'm going to be one of them, but I need another volunteer for September 17th. This can't really be a youth, even if they were not in school, because it's roofing. So it's roof decking and window installation, but if you are someone who has September 17th, a Thursday, available, I would appreciate hearing from you. So this is it. I'm also going to be coming back, as I've said, starting probably in September, once I've been to the organizing meeting, and I'll give you the dates that we're going to need volunteers for the Methodist Presbyterian house. But I think we should all be very proud of what we've done over the years. As Methodists or as members of this church, and if you haven't had an opportunity to look at the exhibit out in the whatever that is out there, the foyer. We've got pictures of all the houses that we've worked on until recent years, and after that they started having pictures of the family. The family that's going to get the 30th anniversary house is an Asheville fireman and his two children. He's a single father, and he's already been selected. They haven't selected the Methodist Presbyterian partner family, but they will be doing that soon. But anyway, if I could have anybody here who's willing to go do a day on the 17th, of September, roof decking and window installation, and then please hold yourself in readiness because I'll be coming back to you for October and November. Thank you very much.
Well, please join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray together. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, as we are formed by your word, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, that we may come to reflect your life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture lesson is Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. It's page 188 in your pew Bible. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He has made known to you your loving spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you be made filled with the knowledge of God with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so we may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. May He be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. This is the word of the Lord.
In our gospel lesson taken from the 10th chapter of Luke, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Hear now the word of the Lord. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What's written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.'" Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was a little boy, I used to sit transfixed in front of the television set with my little red curly afro watching PBS. I would watch Sesame Street. I would watch all sorts of other things. There was a show called Captain Kangaroo that I think I was pretty fond of as well. But my favorite show was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Do y'all remember Mr. Rogers? That theme song is still stuck in my head. I bet you could all sing it, couldn't you? Don't worry, I won't make you do that. Won't you be? Won't you be? What is it about public TV and the soothing voices of people? I mean, Mr. Rogers just had the most soothing voice. He would go and enter that little house, and he would open up the closet and put on the cardigan, and then he would take off his shoes and put on his slippers. And his slippers, I thought, always looked nicer than his shoes he was wearing. And then he would go and he would feed that giant fish tank that he had. And he had that cool trolley, right, that would take you to the world of make-believe and King Friday and all that. And the King Friday, is it? And Prince Tuesday. And I don't. I loved Mr. Rogers. And that phrase, "Won't you be my neighbor?" That just stuck in my head. And, you know, being a little kid, I asked my mom, I said, can we move to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? It looks pretty cool. I'd really like to go there sometime. And my mom said, well, maybe one day we could, maybe one day. But that phrase, "Won't you be my neighbor?" That question about neighborliness is an age-old thing, isn't it? As long as there have been people living side by side with each other, there have been neighbors. As long as there have been disagreements over where to mow, you know, over where a fence goes, over whose tree that is, over whose leaves that tree is on. You know, as long as there have been people living in close proximity, there have been neighbors. And in our story this morning from Luke's gospel, we're reminded of this question again. Just who, Lord Jesus, just who is my neighbor? This question from the lawyer trying to justify himself, Luke tells us, is one of those things. Who exactly is my neighbor? Isn't that just like us? You know, we love to make things more complicated than they really are. I love to study the rabbis and go in depth with all of these stories. I love to see just the different angles and the different questions that they come up with. And I really like this, but at the end of the day, why do we make things so complicated, you know? This story is really not all that complicated, but, you know, this lawyer, he tries to make it so. He complicates it. He makes it divisive. He wants to know who's in and who's out, who belongs, who doesn't. The lawyer's asking Jesus this question not so much to know who his neighbor was, but to know who his neighbor wasn't he? In other words, the focus of the lawyer asking the question was on the fence, not on the neighbor. Instead of telling the lawyer, everybody's your neighbor, you should treat everybody, you know, the way that you would like to be treated, like we might expect Jesus to do, he responds in a fashion that I like. Rather than giving him a straightforward answer, he gives him a story. He gives him a story of this guy, and we all know this story. But Jesus doesn't tell him so much a story about who his neighbor is or isn't, as much as he tells him a story about what it means to be a neighbor. He changes the focus of it from the other to him. He changes the focus of it from who's excluded to the person who's doing the exclusion. Jesus shifts the focus from the fence to the neighbor, and from the neighborhood to neighborliness. This story about the Good Samaritan is one we all know, isn't it? I mean, we've heard this one time and time again. You probably don't need to be reminded that the priest in the story, if this guy had been dead, then if he had touched a dead body, then he would have been ritually unclean and unable to do his duty in the temple. Likewise, the Levite, another person who was responsible for some of the duties in the temple there, pouring out the oil and the wine as offerings to God. You know, he wouldn't have been able to participate in his role in the temple had he touched this man either. So they all kind of skirt by on the other side. And then that Samaritan, he comes near and he sees him and he's moved with pity and he does something. But it's precisely because we know this story so well that it's important for us to look at it again, because we so often just go on autopilot. You know, we just, I know this story. We all need to be neighborly. You know, I know this story. It's about us helping others. But I think that this story teaches us several things, but I want to highlight two of them for you this morning. Number one, it teaches us that everyone is our neighbor and that we're supposed to be a neighbor to everyone regardless of the circumstances surrounding that situation. How many of you, when you've seen someone in need, have said, it's their own fault. They're getting what they deserve. You know, they're reaping what they've sown. If they hadn't made this decision and that decision and that, they wouldn't be there right now. How many of us have done that? I do that myself oftentimes. We don't know much about the priest in the story. We don't know much about the Levite. We don't know much even about the Samaritan or about the man who fell amongst robbers. But we do know that he was traveling alone, and that was something very risky to do. We do know that he was going on this road to Jericho, which was an infamous road full of robbers and thugs and every other sort of terrible person. And you could make the case that this man brought his condition upon himself by being so silly as to travel alone. We think that if people deserve their lot, that we might not have to help them, but this story reminds us that being a follower of Jesus is about providing help for those, even those who are undeserving, because we're undeserving when it comes down to it. Have you ever heard that phrase, a beard does not a philosopher make? Ever heard that one? There's a nice Latin one. If I wanted to try to impress you, I would do that. But a beard does not a philosopher make. There's a story behind that quote from a aristocratic Athenian by the name of Herodes Atticus. And he, you know, was pretty well off. He at one point was a Roman proconsul. And this guy came into his house, and he had a cloak on, and he had this really long beard almost down to his waist, and he asked for money. And Herodes, he said to him, he said, well, you know, what is it that you do? And the man was almost offended. He said, can't you see I'm a philosopher? And he said, you know, a beard I see and a cloak I see, but I don't see the philosopher yet. You know, and that got shortened to a beard does not make a philosopher. And the folks that were with him, they said to Herodes, they said, this guy, he's of worthless character. He's a beggar down the streets. This guy is worth nothing. And he said that, Herodes, he said to them, he said, I think we should give this man enough money for food for 30 days. And they all looked at him and thought, what? He says, let us give him some money. Then, whatever his character may be, not because he is a man, but because we are men. Not because of who that guy was, but because of who he was. We're called to help folks, not because of the way that they are, but because of the way that we are. And that's a key difference, isn't it? I mean, helping people because of who we are, not because of who they are, is a key difference from the way that people in the world tend to operate. Second thing we can learn from this story is a lesson in coming close to people and seeing them. Remember verse 33 of this, the Samaritan, he says, but a Samaritan while traveling came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. Being a neighbor involves coming near and seeing and then acting. The Samaritan bandages the man's wounds and pours oil and wine on them. And anybody think that's a little odd? My grandmother, she has this stuff. I think it's basically turpentine, but it's called Apanol, and she uses it on everything. If you have a headache, put some Apanol on a cloth and wrap it around your head. It'll make it go away. You know, if you have poison ivy, put Apanol on it. If you have arthritis, oh, Apanol will work. I broke my ankle one time, and she made me put Apanol on it. You know, it's like, Grandma, I don't think this is going to work. But back in the day, wine and oil were actually very therapeutic. The word we get ointment from, oinos, is the Greek word for wine. The alcohol in the wine would kill some of the wounds. The oil would help in the healing process. But there's another layer to this story besides just that, and that is oil and wine were two things that were offered at the temple, poured out by the priest and the Levite as an offering to God. We have a lot of symbolism that's going on with this too. They were prominent fixtures in Jewish worship, and the priests and the Levite that handled the oil and wine at the temple, they failed to apply them as needed to relieve the human suffering that was there on the road. It's the hated Samaritan who pours out the libation on the altar of the man's wounds. It's the hated Samaritan who pours out the true offering acceptable to God. In this exchange, Jesus leads us to define neighbor not in terms of boundaries, not in terms of who's not, but in terms of who we are. Not in terms of who we're not, but in terms of who we are. The Samaritan is willing to be a neighbor to the wounded man, and the wounded man is willing to accept his help. And you know, that might not have been the case had he not been wounded. So, what are we to make of that age-old question, who is my neighbor? I don't know, but I think that that's the wrong question. I think the more appropriate question is not who is my neighbor, but won't you be my neighbor? Maybe old Mr. Rogers had it right after all. I was sad to hear about his passing a few years ago, but maybe now, who knows? Maybe one day we could all be his neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? Amen. Our hymn, which I invite you to stand for, is number 453, More Love to Thee, O Christ. 453. I'll draw your attention to all of the names, people, and situations listed on our prayer list, and we have several additions and updates as well. Some of the prayer cards I've received. Kitty's sister, Trish Barnes, whose cancer has come back, received a report this week that was not at all good. And so if you'll please keep Trish and Kitty and her whole family in your prayers during this difficult time. Also, if you would remember William this week, who's having outpatient surgery Tuesday for the melanoma that that he's had. So if you'll remember William as well. Also, Marsha's brother, Martin Morgan, is having back surgery and has had that delayed and delayed and delayed. And so please keep them and their mother as well, who's also having health issues of her own. And then a celebration. Wiley left yesterday morning for Purdue University to lead 5,000 Presbyterian youth at Triennium. He's part of the worship leadership team there, so that's good. Not only can we build houses with the Presbyterians, we can worship with them too, right? Are there others? Yeah. Ann's son-in-law, Jimmy Boyd, possibly had a heart attack yesterday and is right now at mission. So please keep Jimmy in your prayers too. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the victims of all the flooding, especially even those who we might not call victims, but anybody who lived down Beaver Dam Road, right? Especially Pinecroft and that area. I know Marty's photography studio got all messed up with all this water, so keep her in your thoughts and prayers. Yes, Kitty. How is her last name spelled? Pat Call. Yes. Don. Good. We're glad to hear that Hughes is doing well. Thank you. David.
Curtis, Dixie Knuth was the 98-year-old lady that was robbed and hit by the vehicle on the Hill Road this week. I went to see her this morning at mission. They had her discovered him. She was already up the wall.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. That's just an amazing story, isn't it? It's terrible, but also, joy that that she is recovering so speedily. Dixie Knupp. Is it K-N-U-P-P, Knupp. Well, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day that you've given us. And even, Lord, for the blessing of all of this rain, though in the midst of it all, please be with those who have been adversely affected by it. We lift up to you those near and dear to us, but also those far away. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious God, for all those in our midst to struggle with cancer, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the caregivers who are by the sides of those who are bedridden and who are recovering from surgery, or other illnesses. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift up to you our world that's so full of violence and war. For those areas of the world, particularly in the Middle East, where there's so much unrest, we lift your people up to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for those who travel during this summer season, O Lord, keep them safe, and may they return to us refreshed and renewed for service in your church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us, O Lord, as we lift up to you in silence those deepest concerns of our hearts. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him. And let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, please accept these, our gifts to you, that they might be poured out on the needs of others. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing for our final hymn. It's an insert that you should have received as you entered this morning. Somebody Loves Me, number 360 on the insert. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.